This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show. Are you
good? I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
You're gonna need a bigger boat. We're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
This is the 2BT podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
What the heck have you been up to this week, dude?
Dude, I've been burning up. Like, burning. Like, hey, you got a new Fuzzy's cup.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I went by there on Friday after work and got myself an awesome salad and a new Fuzzy's cup as well, because I didn't have any, and it was kind of like a spur of the moment thing. And it's like, oh my gosh. But dude, been burning up. I actually got in my truck yesterday afternoon at about like 3 o'clock. I was having to run back into town for just a few things. And, I get in my truck and the temperature on my truck, granted, it's, of course, it's sitting in the sun, set 110 degrees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then today is like 85, 90. Like, good God, dude.
That sun is a beating though. And then all week we've been busy, working long, super long days.
Yeah.
But usually it's not that bad. Most of the time we're inside the cab of a piece of equipment working. But Friday, everything went wrong.
Oh no.
Two balers. My dad and I were both working and both of them started malfunctioning.
Yeah.
His was a computer issue, something in the programming.
It probably got too hot.
I don't know. And then the other one got jammed up with hay.
Yeah.
And these are the big balers, right?
Yeah.
The big 6-foot bales. And I had to get up inside of the back and dig it all out, and then underneath in the front. And then I had an issue with, a lot of people aren't going to know what the heck I'm talking about, but
That's okay.
I don't care. You get it. And then the belts that roll around to help to facilitate the rolling and making of the bales, they got all messed up. I had to climb up on top and it's hot.
Yeah. I was about to say, and I bet those belts get pretty hot too from the friction of them constantly moving.
Yeah. And then I re-injured, have this injury on my inner thigh where there's like a ligament
that
I pulled last year really bad, almost tore.
Ouch.
And now the only option was to just let it kind of heal up and not try to re-aggravate it or have a surgery where they had to pretty much go in through a very sensitive area. It's a tendon or a ligament. Anyhow, I opted just to heal up, but I hurt it about a month and a half ago, healed back up. And then I hurt it again and I've just been in pain. And then it's just been a rough week.
Sounds like
it. My medical issues, but it's been it's not been that bad. I mean, Paul sends me some books every once in a while. I pay shipping on it, and sometimes a little bit extra to cover some of the stuff he sends me.
Yeah,
and usually he throws me a little bit of extra fun stuff in there. So I was expecting a box of comic books and some other stuff.
Yeah,
and he sent me some cool books. And plus he added an actual book about samurais in there because we're both having interest in that.
Oh, that's cool.
Fun stuff. But there's another box in the mailbox. I'm like, and it's from a guy that I don't know if you know him. His name's Dennis from Best of the Rest podcast.
No.
I'm like, it's a heavy box. Heavy box.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck is this? Is it a bomb?
I was about to say, you think it's going to be a bomb?
Anyhow, I open it up and I sent you a message, you and Steve, a message, and I know Steve would have loved a lot of them too. He sent me these books. These are original printings from the 90s.
That book looks like it's brand new, man.
He took really good care of them. He sent me like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 16 books.
Holy crap.
From the Forgotten Realms and Dragonlance series that were back then. And he just, you know, when they came out, he got them. And I know they're original because they all have TSR.
Yeah.
On the side. Now, if you go get a book, one of these books, it's going to say Wizards of the Coast. TSR was bought by Wizards of the Coast, who does Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Which is a game that I've played a lot of, and my wife and I have played a lot of, and it's fun. Anyhow, it was just a really nice thing that he did. And I didn't ask for it. He had mentioned in a group messaging thing that he was getting rid of some of them. And I had said, man, I wonder how much you'd want for some of those. You know, if you're getting rid of them, I'd be interested.
And yeah.
I never heard back from him. And this is like 2 or 3 weeks ago and he did that.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, he sent these. I mean, it's a lot of books I'd read before, like the Dritz Jordan, the Homeland Exile Sojourn books, the Dark Elf trilogy. a lot of the Dragonlance Heroes Preludes, and then some other cool books I never read.
Yeah.
That I'm looking forward to, and then, you know,
but still need to add those to your collection, though.
It's just a nice thing.
And oh yeah,
like you said, they're in pristine for that, for books being that old. They're in perfect condition.
Oh yeah, you know? Like that the cover of that one that you showed me the Forgotten Realms Homeland one, and it didn't even look like it had any creases on it. No, man,
they're great, and some of the others are actually even better than that.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. And they, you know, he does this podcast with Jay Best of the Rest. They talk about alternative and indie comics, and they're just really good, smart guys to listen to. I just enjoy it, and they're just good people, and it just surprised the heck out of me that he'd send them to me. So thanks, Dennis. You're the best.
That's freaking cool, man.
And then another is Christmas this week for me, apparently.
Apparently.
So my sister-in-law, you know, or Monica, I think you met her maybe once at Scarborough.
Yeah.
She showed up today. We had a birthday party for a nephew who turned 3.
Yeah.
And she showed up with this.
That's awesome.
It's a little tiny lunchbox.
That's the
Return of the Jedi Saga Continues.
Yeah, that's the Revenge of the. It's a little tin lunchbox with the classic lunchbox shape with the rounded top, and on the sides of it has the Revenge of the Jedi poster work, but it says Return of the Jedi on it, and then at the ends of it had the Return of the Jedi like actual poster image on it. That's like really cool, man. Sorry, I just kind of stepped on you and started giving the description of
it. No, you gave a much better description. But then it's Christmas because of this.
Oh, you got an awesome Darth Vader stocking, dude.
I don't know if I'm going to get to hang it, but it's cool. She got it. She goes to yard sales with her boyfriend a lot.
Yeah.
And she found this, and she knows that I'm weird and would love something like that.
Yeah, I've got a Chewbacca stocking. Unfortunately, I didn't have anybody buy it for me. I bought it for myself, but it's the Chewbacca. It has a little bandolier on it, and it's all furry. It's freaking great.
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those things that I just couldn't pass up. So I was like, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Darth Vader stocking. I've got a little show and tell thing. I got something here that I want to show you real quick. It makes me happy because I'm already starting a countdown, and my countdown is to Star Wars Celebration. And Chicago, 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 that title in town. So anyways, here it is. And if it'll pull up, here it goes. Okay, it's pulling up now. And I have... Holy, close to the camera. I've got the little... It's just a countdown app is what it's called. It is now officially 10 months, 7 days, 14 hours, 3 minutes, and 35 seconds until Chicago Star Wars Celebration 2019 starts. And it's just a neat little countdown app that you can put whatever image you want to on it. And I did it for the last time. I'll change that countdown after I get my flight booked and all like that good stuff. I'll have the countdown to whenever my actual flight leaves. And then I'll probably start up another one till Celebration starts. But, but yeah, man, I went to the Star Wars, actual Star Wars app. They've got a countdown for the next movie for episode 9. And they usually have a countdown for Celebration, and they didn't have one yet. So I was like, you know what?
Make your own.
Those buttholes, I'll just go ahead and make my own and start up my own countdown. And little did I realize that it would allow you to put music on it. So.
Awesome.
I of course had to throw the Star Wars main title theme. And if anybody else wants that app, it's just called Countdown. It's just an app that counts down to neat things in your life.
I thought that was going to be something that you'd got specifically for that, but you made your own. That's cool.
Yeah. It's just a little app, and you can put whatever image you want to on it and all like that good stuff. So
another way to name it is how many months I have to save money.
Basically, see what you can do. I don't know if Trisha will listen to this, but what you could do is you could say, look, we spent the income tax return on everybody else this past year, except for me. So that means you get to keep all the income tax return next year. Right. And then there you go.
Well, I can't say I didn't benefit from it some, but.
Oh, I know you did, but still.
It was, we've already got that. She's like, Celebration, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my mom and I are going to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
So they've already got that. They've already booked it. I'm like, I'm not trying to figure out how the heck are we going to pay for this going to Chicago? And she's like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
She's supportive of me getting to go.
That's
cool. I get to go for the entire time like you will be.
Yeah.
But I'll be up there for a few days. And the goal is to be up there for, I'm looking forward to it.
Heck yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to that pizza, man.
Oh, dude, it's so good. Giordano's.
A lot of people, I've been following this thing, separate, you know, thing where people are like, that's not pizza. Only kind of pizza is New York style pizza. That is something else that people call pizza. But to me, it's got pizza sauce. It's got goodness in it.
Yeah.
Covered in cheese. I'll eat it. I don't care what you call it. I will eat it until I can't
right?
eat. I looked at the picture of it the other day. I was like, oh my God, that looks delicious.
Dude, Pizza Lives Matter is all I got to say. I'm not a pizzist. I treat all pizza as equal, and I will eat every single one of them. Deep dish, thin crust, you know, New York style, stuffed crust pizza, whatever. You name it to me. Just don't throw any fish on there, and I'll think I'll be all right.
Oh, do you think they do that? Fish?
Oh, well, anchovies, man. Some people throw anchovies on there.
Oh, that's true. I never had that.
Dude, I'll tell you straight up. I'm a simple man whenever it comes to pizza. I don't like a whole heck of a lot of toppings on there. I just throw my pepperoni on there. You can throw whatever meat you want on there, like I said, except for fish. But whenever it comes to vegetables, I'm usually pretty picky. So I'm all like, just give me your all meats. You can throw some jalapenos on there because that's vegetable candy or, you know.
The thing is, I've learned, and I'm not a great cook, but my wife and I, over the years, I've watched a lot of the cooking shows and Anthony Bourdain and read his books. And I really got interested into how to actually make stuff taste good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we did the Blue Apron thing for a while, and that really got us into this is really simple.
Yeah.
It's just got you learning how to match flavors and get this flavor will bring out the best in this stuff and all the different techniques for making it. I told you a while back, I saw this article. It's called The World's Best Pasta Sauce.
Yeah.
Right? And it blew my mind. I read it like, there's no way this is going to be good.
Yeah.
There's just no way because it's too simple. There's nothing like when we make spaghetti sauce or pizza sauce, we like, oh, got to throw oregano in there. Got to throw garlic in there. You know, all the different flavors. But the problem is we usually overwhelm it with all the different stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the list. Okay. It was this lady. She's like her name is Marcella Hazan. She's dead now, but she wrote The Essentials of Italian Cooking. It's like one of the cookbooks that are like great famous chefs that you see, you know, profile on different cooking shows as like being the top chefs in the world.
Yeah.
They look up to her. Anyhow, these are the ingredients. 28 ounce can of whole peeled tomatoes. One onion, you take it, you chop it in half, take off the external layer.
Yeah.
Don't chop it up. You just throw that whole onion in there.
Oh, wow.
Just in two pieces. And then it's 5 tablespoons of butter.
Yeah.
You cook it for a medium heat for 45 minutes. And I thought, I'm going to try it. It's not going to be good. So we're going to want to decorate it up with a little bit more stuff, oregano and whatever else.
Oregano, basil, stuff like that. Yeah.
Basil. And I got to tell you, it doesn't need anything else.
Really?
We've made it like 4 times and it's like perfect.
Heck yeah, dude.
I don't know that it's the best in the world.
Yeah.
But it is a perfect base and it's so simple and you don't have to do anything. You just throw it in the pot.
Yeah.
And let it cook.
And
I'm looking forward to it, using it on like doing a pizza sauce with it and stuff like that.
Heck yeah, man.
Adding basil or whatever.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's like yesterday I was getting a little bit, the whole reason why I went to town yesterday because I was sitting there and I was like, man, like one of my vices, one of my things is I love meatballs, man. Meatballs, I mean, who doesn't love little balls of meat? So like I was like, man, I want some meatballs, but I'm trying to get back on my healthy kick again and stuff. And I was like, you know what, I can make some meatballs out of some ground turkey. So, I know everybody's cringing whenever they hear this and they're like, ground turkey meatballs. What the? Oh, I just don't know. So,
see, I'm curious about this because I've never really been able to make a good meatball.
Dude, it was really, really good, man. And I'll tell you the little recipe that I used real quick. It was real simple. It's like half a teaspoon of oregano, one egg, a pound of turkey, ground turkey meat, half a teaspoon or which one did I say first? Oregano or basil? Anyways, it's half a teaspoon.
Oregano.
Yeah, half a teaspoon of oregano, half a teaspoon of basil, half a teaspoon of seasonal salt, half a teaspoon of garlic powder, half a teaspoon of onion powder. Throw all that in there with your egg and your turkey and you mix it all up with your hands and get all in there and dirty and make your little meatballs. And then put your, cause you know, turkey's pretty lean, so it doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of fat in it. So
right.
Put some, olive oil in the pan and then, you know, just sear your turkey balls, man. And yeah,
sear those turkey balls,
sear those turkey balls, man, and cook those turkey balls for about, you know, they, since they're small, they don't take long to cook, you know.
Well, of course they're small.
Yeah. they're turkey balls. Anyways. gobble gobble, sons of bitches. Oh my goodness, that just took a really bad turn, didn't it? Anyways, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah. And then you just pour your, I just poured my sauce on top of it. And so to even make it a little, even better, I cooked a spaghetti squash. And I don't know if you've ever had spaghetti squash, but it, dude, it's simple.
No.
It's so simple, man. Like I just went to Walmart, got a spaghetti squash, cut the little ends off of it so that we could stand it up flat and then just cut it straight down the center of it, like long ways. Cut it straight down the center, rub a little bit of olive oil on it, salt and pepper, and then stick it in the, and put it down on a cookie sheet face down. I put some parchment paper so that way there wasn't anything to have to clean up afterwards and so that way it wouldn't stick to the cookie sheet. Put it on the cookie sheet, stuck it in the oven for about 40 minutes on 400 degrees, and then dude pulled it out and then shredded it with a fork. And yeah, so it's
what's pretty the good. Flavor on that, like texture and all that? I mean, how close to like pasta is it?
The texture is a little bit more firmer than a cooked noodle, than a cooked piece of spaghetti or whatever. Like, you know that it's not a piece of spaghetti, but it, to me, it doesn't have, maybe it's because I like a lot of sauce with mine, dude. Whenever I make my spaghetti and stuff like that or whatever, I like a lot of the red sauce on there. So,
yeah.
And I usually say red sauce because my parents' neighbors are Italian. So, you know, we ate pretty good Italian food whenever we were kids because they'd always make way too much and then bring it over to the house. It was amazing.
I'm very jealous of you there.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous of that. I do love Italian cooking.
They were straight New York transplants, man. Like, it's kind of one of those things where I used to think that they were in the witness protection program.
your neighbor, the wise guy. Right? Yeah. And North Texas and central North Texas. That would stand out like a sore thumb.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. Out in the middle of nowhere, basically. Well, I mean, like it wasn't really out in the middle of nowhere, but it's like very secluded little community out where we lived at. You know, and then all of a sudden these people from New York are moving down, and not just her, but then her brother buys a street, the house, like kind of a diagonal across the street from her, like right next door to us. So it's kind of one of those, what's going on here type things.
You're very lucky they didn't get tracked down and you get in the crossfire of a gangland.
I think that's the reason why they have so many dogs, man. So that way they can tell whenever somebody's coming up out there.
Oh, dang. Oh, wait. Intro.
Oh, hey.
20 minutes in.
Yeah, all right. Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
Oh, yeah.
No Steven.
No Steven. Steven's fired. No, yeah, he's, you know how it goes. If somebody's not here, they get fired. So
I almost didn't make it. This, like I said, I was beat. I'm surprised I'm actually able to talk. I'm so wore out.
Yeah.
But we made it 20 minutes in, so we're good.
I have done absolutely nothing at all this weekend. It has been glorious since last weekend. Oh, what's that?
I'm so jealous.
You gotta, I didn't
get home till like 1:30 last night and then I had to get up and go to a 3-year-old's birthday party that 4 hours.
See,
4-hour long birthday party for a 3-year-old that doesn't even talk.
I would have just put a kibosh on that, dude. I would have said like, no, I'm not going. I'm going to sit here at the house. Y'all go have fun. I'm going to sit here and hang out and just relax for a little bit.
My wife was cool about it. And she's like, you don't have to go. Everybody understand.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'm going. It's a family thing. So.
And then next weekend you have a graduation to attend.
Yeah. My sister's youngest daughter, her youngest daughter. She has another daughter. She's younger stepdaughter.
Yeah.
But graduating from high school. Oh my God. I'm old.
we're old.
They do their graduations down at the Dallas Cowboys
At the stadium?
Practice facility.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which is bigger than most arenas I've been in. I actually went to my other niece, the oldest niece, graduated last year, and I went because they give tickets out, and they're limited number. I actually got a ticket and got to go.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We're talking like 1,200 students, and I know a lot of people listening might think, well, 1,200 students, that's a big deal. You got to remember, I graduated – you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you. I graduated with a class of 12 people.
Mine was 72, so.
The idea of 1,200 people graduating at a certain time from one school just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And they have a cool thing set up to where we can go to the house and actually watch it.
Oh, that's cool.
The TV.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to see them. I mean, as soon as it's over, they all run to the cars because another high school is coming in immediately after and setting up to graduate.
Yeah.
Down in the Plano area, and it's just, that's just big down there.
Yeah.
It's a foreign thing for me.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I'm so glad that I always used to hate the fact that I grew up in such a small town and had such a small class and all like this. But, you know, now that I'm older and I see that type of stuff and like, dude, I saw a video on the internet of like an Arlington, Texas high school graduation. And there was like a fight in the freaking seats or whatever over. I think it was just because they were trying to like jockey for position to get a video or picture of their kids graduating high school. And it's like, it's high school graduation. That's just a minor step. That's not, to me, that's not even like a big deal. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I just, you know.
It's special though. Yeah, it's special.
Yeah, I guess it is. But it's just one of those things where, I don't know. It's not worth like fighting over and going to jail for. That's for sure. It's just ridiculous, man.
Oh my God, there's a tick on me.
Oh.
There's a tick crawling on my leg.
Hey, at least it wasn't like embedded in you at the time.
Oh, no. But where did I get it? I'm safe, everybody. Don't worry. Carry on.
I caught it. Time to set off some foggers.
Yeah. It's that time of year.
Yeah, well, dude.
No, I bet no other podcast has ever been interrupted with a tick attack.
They probably have. It's just like some dude sitting in the woods somewhere that's just recording everything for whenever somebody finds his body somewhere or whatever.
Oh my God.
Sorry, you know, dude. I'm kind of grim.
Have we ever been able to have an episode where we didn't just take it to a dark place?
No. But I think that's just because that's our humor, like, basically. I blame it on the Far Side, man.
Oh, yeah. Far Side is the best. I miss that.
Dude, don't you? Like, oh my goodness. Like, I was reading Wikipedia on that guy, like, not too long ago, because I was having a conversation with somebody else about it. And I'd always heard that, you know, he was like a professor or whatever. I think at like Arizona or whatnot. Yeah, I was completely, totally wrong. He was actually a musician who worked at a music store or something like that in like Oregon or Washington, like up in the upper West Coast area.
Really?
Yeah. And he got to start drawing cartoons up there, but he did marry an anthropologist. So kind of similar or whatever, but yeah, he was not a history teacher or archaeology teacher at University of Arizona.
Huh. Far Side, Calvin and Hobbes. They're a younger one than that. Get Fuzzy. I don't know if you ever read that.
No, I never read that one.
That's a good one. And then, of course, you know, Peanuts was always
a staple. And Garfield.
Peanuts and Garfield were always the front pages. Because I grew up, and it became a thing I did later in life, where I had to have a Sunday edition of like a Dallas Morning News.
Oh, yeah.
So I could get the comic section. Because I remember being a little tiny kid going to like my granny's house on Sunday, and they'd get the Gainesville Register, and it had a good comic section in there. And I just lay on the floor and look at it and read the comics and yeah, good stuff. But the Far Side, the sense of humor is so out there that, and a lot of people have tried to duplicate it.
Yeah.
It's some just, have done well, but yeah. I it's a special thing all by itself.
Yeah.
The cows.
Yeah, dude. Like that's one of those that I always tell everybody, like, and that came out at like such a developmental time of my life, man, because that was the 90s. I want to say, well, I mean, whenever I first kind of found it was, I would say in about like late 80s, early 90s. I guess I probably started reading it in like, I'm just going to go out there and say 88. And I think that's whenever the Dallas Morning News started putting it in the paper, because I was the same way. Like my parents always got the Sunday Morning News, the Dallas Sunday Morning News. And so it was like, oh yeah, that was the only time I'd ever read the paper. And that was the only thing that I would read in the paper was the comics. The paper'd come in, I'd rip the comics out of them. Parents would get pissed off, say like, don't tear up the paper. And I'd, you know, read Garfield, Far Side, and Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
A lot of times Snoopy and sometimes, never Doonesbury's. That one always seemed like it had a lot of, it was too wordy. Yeah. And, Beetle Bailey only every once in a while. Yeah. Hagar the Viking and, Prince Valiant every once in a while.
Yeah, I read all that stuff, but I'm an exception to you. And this is foreign to people. A lot of people that are, grew up mostly in the internet age. I devoured the sports section to look at the box scores because that's the only place I could find my stats. And in this, like, I was a huge basketball fan.
Yeah.
Huge NBA basketball fan. I grew up and it was like really interested in sports, especially like during the time when like Michael Jordan started out. And, you know, I'd want to see how he did. And they showed the team box, the stats for each team plus all the box scores. And I would just study it and like, oh, Jordan did this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
That's one of my things. But now you get your information about it at the just click of a button on your phone.
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing. Like ESPN kind of hurt newspapers a little bit because they kind of took over and started taking away from newspapers because they carried everything. Like, and that was used to be my thing. I would do the same thing, except for I'd get up and turn on SportsCenter and watch SportsCenter and get all the information that I needed and everything that I wanted or whatever. And then now, like you said, everything's at like a push of the button. I only keep up with a couple of teams. I'm still a hardcore basketball, football, not so much baseball, but I do keep up with baseball and hockey and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like it was, that was the thing about the paper. That was the whole purpose of the paper. And that was all and whenever I got later in life also before we got cable and I got sports centers. Yeah. I would rip out the comics and I'd rip out the sports section or the sports day for the Dallas Morning News. And that would be my dad being like, don't tear up the paper, dadgummit. You know,
talking about this brings up something. My oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Brilliant girl. Nice girl. She's like, she ended up staying home yesterday while we went out and said, the people that you hung out with us 3 weeks ago, I've got to see you for the last 3 weeks every weekend.
Oh,
to
my
say goodbye
goodness.
To them. And guess what? Between you and me, I haven't seen these people once in 5 years. And all of a sudden, 3 weekends in a row, I got to go hang out and say bye to them. But that's cool. That's cool. We had fun. But she stayed home and she's like, yeah, I got so bored. I'm like, how can you be bored?
Yeah, you have the world at your fingertips, man.
Yeah, I don't buy into bored because there's so many things I wish I had time to do.
Yeah.
I could literally make a list of probably 10 projects I want to start right now and work on this, this, and this. And it's just, you know, I don't get bored. There's,
yeah.
You know, watch a movie. We have all these movies at instant access to, even if it's not like when I was like, until we got good internet where I live, we had a huge DVD collection. If I ever wanted to watch a show, I could just, or felt what you'd call quote unquote bored, I just go grab a movie and watch it.
Yeah.
I don't understand this concept of boredom.
I don't either, man. It makes no sense at all to me either. Like I'm right there with you. Like I was saying earlier, I've done nothing this weekend, but not once have I been bored. I've sat there and like, since last weekend was Memorial Day, Any time around Memorial Day, I usually start watching Band of Brothers. It's one of my favorite series or whatever. And I watch Band of Brothers. And, so I started Band of Brothers and I finished that off earlier in the week. And I was like, you know what? Now I'm going to watch The Pacific, even though The Pacific gets a bad rap for some reason. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. I know you said you've never seen Band of Brothers.
Yeah. I had to make a confession that I've never seen The Pacific I've never seen Band of Brothers and I've never seen The Pacific.
They're both. They're both on Amazon Prime. If you want to check them out, like, they're both really, really, really moving series, man. Of course, the first one is written by Stephen E. Ambrose, and that's an author that I think we've recommended on here before. If you're a history nerd, at all, especially for World War II or whatnot.
And let me interrupt. He has a wide range of books. I mean, he has books on Lewis and Clark. He's got books on a lot on World War II, of course. He had a wide, but he was one of the biggest things he was into was the Second World War. And, you know, in New Orleans, there's actually a museum, the Stephen E. Ambrose, is it World War II Museum? Something yes. like that.
Yeah. It's yeah. in the yeah. It's in the old Higgins boat factory there. The Higgins boats were what they ran up on the beaches at Normandy. And, you know, if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, and they run the boats up on the beaches and that front gate lowers down and that's where the machine gun fire starts pouring down the boat or whatever.
Yeah.
That boat is a Higgins boat and they won the contract for them because they were able to make them such a shallow draft that they could run in such small, you know, shallow water. But yeah, that's just, man, just thinking about that, like, it's horrifying. But anyways, so, I was, kind of ran through that and like I said, I've done nothing this weekend except for basically watch, I think I finished Band of Brothers on Friday and then I ran through all of the Pacific yesterday and today. Like I just finished it up just about an hour before. Yeah. Just like about an hour before we got on. So
you are inundated with.
Yeah. I've gotten through too much war. That might have been why we went really dark a minute ago. Also.
Well, and it was just a couple of weeks ago we watched, Dunkirk together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which was a really awesome movie.
Yes, it is, man. That's one of those that you know, it takes you by awe because I think that they wanted, you know, what was it, 30,000, and they wound up getting 300,000 or something like that. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just the capabilities of people that are driven to not just save themselves but save another one's life. That what they can go above and beyond and do is just astounding. And it's, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I've always had an interest in history and this last week I was waiting to get my Audible credit and
oh, yeah.
I couldn't wait because I wanted to get the next Dresden book. I wanted to get the next Expanse book. And I wanted to get this other book that's about Texas history by a professor from the University of North Texas named Randolph Campbell.
Yeah.
It's called GTT, The History of the Lone Star State or something like that. A History of the Lone Star State. And I was like, God, how am I going to get these three books with one credit? Oh, I can't. But then I was like, Audible, it's like crack. It's like, hey, we're going to give you the first one free.
Yeah.
And then guess what? You pay like 10, 11 bucks. We'll give you for each credit. We'll give you three more credits for 33 bucks. Like that. I'm like, I can't do that. That's crazy. I'm like, well, I looked at the price of these books. Well, this book's $15.
Yeah.
This book's $18. And the one I was, the history one was $28. I'm like,
oh yeah.
What the heck? And it's 28 hours long.
Oh wow. So
I'm irresponsible. I don't have the money to do it, but I went ahead and did it. And, yeah, I got sucked into it. I've already worked my way through like the first four or five chapters of that history book. I was meant to start the Dresden, but it just started. And, I'm lost in a place near to where I am, but a long time ago. So
yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm going to have obsession. To get that also. Did you take a class with that professor that wrote that book?
I did not. I did not. I could have. I didn't. I regret it because I had read one of his books for a course when I was an undergraduate. And it was a great book called An Empire for Slavery.
Yeah.
Not a great title. Not a good subject. he's a great writer. He's really... I just really wish when I was at University of North Texas that I had taken a class with him because he is an exceptional scholar and he's a good communicator. It makes it simple. It's not complicated. It's not like, you know, a lot of the academic writing and stuff is this will put you to sleep, but he's a good storyteller.
Oh, okay.
And he takes it all the way back to prehistoric times and he makes you really understand. Oh, wait, Texas history did not begin in 1836.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people kind of, like, between you and me, let's be honest, a lot of people kind of think it does.
Oh, hey, I'll be honest, that's where I think it starts off at is in 1836. I know it starts way before that, but, you know, that's where it always sticks out in my mind is 1836 with the, you know, the Texas independence in March or whatever, you know. But
yeah, it goes way back. Because we were talking about the other day, just like finding arrowheads.
Yeah.
And he really gives a good illustration of like, well, who were these people? What were they doing here 12,000 years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really, to me, it just sucks me in and I can't get out of that way of thinking. So I've got a whole giant stack of books in my office that I got to look at this book and learn more about Native American history. Oh God.
See, now you've got me out that I'm going to use one of my credits. I've got two credits. I was actually purposely like holding on to one credit because you told me on the Expanse books, right?
Yeah.
See, here's my train of thought. This is where I was planning towards. So I banked one credit and you kept telling me like these Expanse books are really, really good. And was it, you said the second book that you said after you finish the second book, you're going to want to jump straight into the third book?
Yes. And I'm going to start it this week. I got it. I used one of my three credits for that. And I still have one more credit. You're going to have to get both of them because.
But, see, and that was the plan. What I was going to do is I was going to get one book that it just, and now one of the books that I'm going to get is obviously, so I've got two Audible credits sitting in the bank right now. So I'm going to get one of them is going to be that Texas book. And that'll take me a while to go through at work because I get people come up to me all the time, ask me questions, blah, 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 and all like this good stuff. So that'll take me a while. So hopefully by the time I start the next book, The Expanse, it'll take me up till my next credit is about to drop. And where that next credit, well, you know, those two, I'll have it timed out to where I'll be able to just bump another credit in there. And
listen to a sample of it though, before, cause I'm not trying to knock the guy, but cause this is a history book. It's not, you know, they're not necessarily going to be able to afford the greatest.
Oh yeah.
Narrator, but it's informative. It doesn't bog you down too much in all the too much minutia, but it tries to move along a little bit. It's just, but to me, Texas history is one of those things I've always been interested in since I had to take the class in seventh grade.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I mean, I got 2 degrees in history. So, and I don't use them for my line of work. So there's something wrong with me or I'm just like obsessive about many things. So.
Who says you got to use your degree in your line of work?
I don't.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, see, like I've gotten a few of the Stephen Ambrose books on Audible. And you know, he does the narration for his books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, if you get a Stephen Ambrose book on Audible, it's, I won't say all of his books are narrated by him, but the books that I've got, like I've got the one on D-Day. That's all about the planning and, you know, lead up to and then actual event of D-Day, which is an amazing book. He does a great comparison chapter just over comparing Rommel and Eisenhower. And it's amazing how similar they were. It'll blow your mind, man. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. both from very German families, both married their high school sweethearts, both were outstanding athletes, both went to world renowned military colleges. You know, it's just insane on how similar the two were. But anyways, yeah, getting back to it. And then it's one of those things where I'm kind of like you, where I can get lost in it to where it's like, oh wow, I want to learn more about that. I want to learn more about that. But yeah, and I always feel like, you know, the only classes I ever had was my required Texas history class in seventh grade. And it was taught by a guy by the name of Bob Grundy, Mr. Grundy, who was also a Coach Grundy. And
that sounds like a name off of
It sounds like it should be off of King of the Hill, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Grundy.
No, he's dead. He's got to be dead. That guy was old as the hills by then. If he's not dead, I'm sorry, Mr. Grundy. But yeah, that dude was like, I'm not kidding you whenever I say, like, I really think he had graduated from North Texas Teachers College.
Oh, back that's in like, way back.
Back in like the 40s or something like that. That guy, this dude was old as the hills and he got in trouble because he brought some spit root to school. I don't even know what the devil's spit root is, but it was just a root that you put in your mouth and it makes you spit all the time. It was like, what? Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, like it was.
Spit root. I got to find this now.
Right? Yeah, exactly. What, man.
Did he brought this did he make the students use it?
He didn't make students use it. He brought it for himself just to, like, I don't know. And
opposed to like tobacco or something like
that. Yeah, as opposed to tobacco, whatever. And like, it's just spit root and it made you spit. And I was
God, he might have been 150 years old. He's going back to like, I'm reading about these guys in the 1830s and 40s, the crazy stuff they do just to survive and eat. And yeah, maybe that's something that got passed down. I've never heard of that in my life.
Right. Yeah, I had never, dude, that was the first time I've thought of that. And I don't know how long. It's probably been a good 25 years since I've thought of that. But yeah, or probably even more than that. I couldn't even tell you. I'm not going to try to do the math. I'm not a mathematician, so I'm not going to try to do the math of how long it's been since I was in the seventh grade. But
that's a long time ago.
Oh, too long. Too long ago.
But go back to Ambrose real quick. One of the things about him that makes him so special is he's one of these people. Yeah, he was a professor and an academic. And he's kind of like a guy named David McCullough. He's a storyteller, though. And a lot of people write, especially, I'm not knocking him, but the ability to tell the story and make you understand that, because a lot, you can look at it the big picture, right? But to be able to share the big picture, the macro level of what's going on, but then take it down to like individual people that are on a mission. And he's able to do that. He's able to merge both of those things, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. 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 Cause another book that I really like of Ambrose is Citizen Soldiers. And it basically follows different soldiers through World War II or whatever. You know, and it's he writes over the big picture of D-Day, but then granted, it's a totally different book, but yeah, he's able to, like, single in on one. And of course, like we said, he also wrote Band of Brothers, the book that the series is based off of.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's just an amazing series and a really good book. Another book of his that I would suggest to anybody, if you've ever had any sort of interest whatsoever in World War II and especially in the air war of World War II that he wrote, is called The Wild Blue Men and Boys. Yeah. Who flew B-24s and from 1944 to 45, something like that. But I think it's just the main title of it's like Wild Blue. And then the additional title, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, Men and Boys Who Flew B-24s from 1944 through 45 in Western Europe or whatnot. But it's basically almost like a biography of George McGovern.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he took a lot of flack during Vietnam because he was totally against Vietnam. But little did people realize is that he was also a B-24 pilot in World War II.
Being somebody that's in something like that, that kind of probably changed his perspective on running into war, probably colored his desire to go to war again.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, just running into war carelessly just because, well, we don't like it because you're trying to go communist. Which I'm sure there's a lot more to it than just that.
Yeah. But, you know, There's a lot there.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to get into that.
Yeah. I was about to say, I don't really know that much about it. So we won't jump into that. Oh, man.
Let's just say America has a history of making false events or creating events to kind of spur us along and to get what we want. And that one didn't really work out very well for us. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
Spanish-American War, Mexican-American War, lots of weird stuff going on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. What was it? I heard, was it the Spanish-American War? That's the one with Remember the Maine, right?
Yeah, yeah, the ship that got some kind of an explosion happened on it down in Cuba, but...
Yeah. I've heard that, you know, we thought that it was Cubans that caused that explosion. Now that there's been some more detective work done, and I think that they're saying that it was just basically like an accident or something like that or whatnot.
I haven't looked at it that closely, but a lot of what happened with that war is that's one of those wars where the media, the press, in fact, I don't want to name the person, one media mogul at the time really, really was pushing for a war to get another colony and a more land territory.
Okay.
That's something we could look into later on another project we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were talking about doing a history show as well. So it would be like To School with 2BT or something like that. Or what was it? Time Travelers. Yeah. We totally throw everybody off where they're thinking of sci-fi and then we're trying to teach them something or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, just learn ourselves and share interesting stuff would be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't know about you, but that's like, you know, that's what I mean, obviously, I'm a huge nerd of Star Wars, but also along at the same time, I also enjoy just learning. That's,
yeah,
you know, one of my favorite things to do is watching documentaries. In fact, I just added another one right after I got done watching Band of Brothers. I added a documentary of, it's about a, I think it's a, it's a, I haven't got to watch it yet, but I think for the most part, it's on, Colonel Dick Winters. He's a major player in Band of Brothers. He was kind of the CEO of Easy Company from the 101st Airborne, but he didn't start off as CEO. Like once you watch the series, like I actually have the DVDs sitting out because I've got it on DVD and Blu-ray. So whenever you come by the next time I'll toss it to you. Or if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it free on Amazon Prime. So that and the Pacific. So, but I always suggest DVDs. The DVDs are really, really cool of that because or the Blu-rays are really, really cool that they have like most DVDs where it has like a glossary and all like that good crap but you can go into it and it has like almost like a vocabulary. So if they're using, you know, just like the military and like anybody's job, you have all sorts of acronyms that people wouldn't be familiar with or whatever. Yeah. Like say like OJT, which is on the job trainer or whatever. So like it has, you know, basically a vocabulary for it. So that way you can go in and see what CEO meant or XO or, you know, and all the different ranks too. So that way you can actually learn how to signify which rank is what dude or whatever, like a technical sergeant and first sergeant and blah, blah, blah. So the DVDs are really, really neat. That I like that feature on the DVD.
That's cool.
But yeah, cool. Man. I can't seem to clear my throat right now. It's driving me up the wall.
Your throat can't clear it. I'm just worried if there's more ticks crawling on me somewhere.
Well, the good news is that you have tile and wood floors throughout your house, so you could just set off some bombs. You could just set off some foggers and y'all run to town for a little bit or something like that.
I'm pretty sure it came in with me because I've been outside all day. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was the perfect time for those little buttholes too, man.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
So yeah. we've talked for 50 minutes almost, and you only brought up Star Wars once kind of incidentally.
I know
and,
it.
So yeah, interesting.
I
don't know how we get going on one thing. Started talking about pasta. Talking about World War II. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I specifically didn't bring up, you know, Star Wars because everybody has Star Wars fatigue, apparently, or whatever.
Fatigue. I loved it. This guy named Mike Myers. He has a non-Nerdy Legion podcast that I've listened, a couple that he does, Retrocast and Mike M's Weekly Reads. And, apparently he's a big Star Wars fan. And on Facebook, I really opened Facebook when I opened it today and it put a smile on my face. And he's like, I can't remember the exact wording. It's like, what's this Star Wars fatigue? I just want more.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you talking about? Star Wars fatigue? Where's the Marvel fatigue?
Yeah.
There's none. And let's not talk about box office because that drives me crazy too. I can tell you right now, one of my very favorite movies of all time. I love it. It was made by people that love the work it came from. It's called Big Bad Love, and it made maybe, I don't think it made $200,000 when it was released. And it is to me one of the best movies. It's one of those movies that I can watch over and over and have.
Yeah.
Let's not compare because a movie makes $2 billion doesn't make it the best movie ever made.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It just means it had a really good marketing machine behind it, basically.
And I've been running across people just in conversation the last couple of days we've been out, bringing it up. Saying, oh, we just went and saw Solo and loved it. It's great. It's the friend of my wife that you met, Amanda, she's like, I don't understand what these people are talking about. That movie was so fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's Lawrence Kasdan, and I think that's what Lawrence Kasdan and his son, you know, writing the movie. Them, you know, I don't get it, man. I was reading a few articles just a minute ago that was like, you know, Solo a box office flop and blah blah blah. And it's like, you know, you don't make all your money back just through the box office. You know, there's DVD sales and Blu-ray sales and digital sales and all like that crap. And yeah, and that's the, you know, that's besides the fact of like the toy sales and stuff. You know, it's just, stop with the negativity.
One interesting thing, an article I came across, and I hope I can do it justice, did kind of give me like, okay, I get it. I understand what's going on. Cause we talked about last week at the end of the show about people who are like, why should I go see something, a prequel to something when I know what's going to happen later on?
Yeah.
And okay, we can poo poo that all we want to. And it's like, oh, but because of this, this and this, the fact exists. A lot of people don't care. And that's the people, the hardcore fans that are really love it. They're going to go see the movie.
Oh yeah.
They're the ones that are going to put the $100 million in right off the front. But maybe a lot of people don't get grabbed by it because it is, they have that frame of, and I'm not criticizing them. If they have that thought, that's fine. But I think that's why it might have been a weaker box office opening, that and the negative press that preceded it for over a year.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things where it's like, I don't, I'm not going to sit there and make excuses or anything like that. But, you know, it's also up against Avengers and then Deadpool. And then whatever else is coming out, you know, I'm not going to say Ocean's 8 is going to be a huge box office smash, but then you've got Ocean's 8 and then whatever else. Like and that's just off the top of my head that I can think of right now. Like I can pull up the actual listing of the movie theater. It's summer, man. You're going to have all sorts of competition at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like Lucasfilm and Disney knew that they weren't going to have a box office smash with this. That's the reason why they didn't wait to release it during the wintertime and give Ron Howard extra time to work on it. You know, they're like, you know, we're going to keep our original release date and go ahead and send it out and May the 25th, hit that awesome 41 year anniversary mark of the original Star Wars and just call it done, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Solo. I want to wait till Steven's here to put his two cents in because people have heard from us a lot about, we haven't talked about any of the big reveals yet.
Oh yeah.
But there's lots of stuff. I could see it going off. Even though, yeah, a lot of people would not be interested in seeing it because it is a prequel about Han Solo, and yeah, we know what happens. They did set up in this movie oh crap. Let's go to still there?
Just go to let's shut down the video. There we go.
What was I saying? A lot of people might not be interested in Solo because it's a prequel and all that, but this movie set so many things up, possibilities for going off in different routes and avenues that don't involve any characters that we've ever met before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Like, to me, I still say this is more of a setup film. You know, like you said, it set up so many different characters and so many different things. And I still say, like, you know, everybody's saying that, and that's what I don't get is like, you know, we saw numbers last week that said like 157 or 175 million like worldwide release or whatever. And then this week I see numbers that said like 150 million worldwide release. So it's kind of like, what? Like, just, you know, it's just media that just, I always get pissed off at the press anyways. You know, like, I don't know. It's kind of like whenever I was trying to find the tax bill, you know, I was looking up what the new tax bill was how it was going to affect me personally. And I never could find a straight thing. And I went to like five different websites. So it's like, it's hard to trust any sort of news out there nowadays. And it's like, well, I'm getting my information from this place, this place, and this place. And I hate doing that, but you've got to go to like three or four different places just to get an accurate telling of what the devil's going on, because everybody's going to put their own little spin on it.
You have to learn to read between the lines a little bit. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it is what it is, I guess. You just roll with it and say, okay, cool.
Absolutely.
Oh man. But I think I'm going to go ahead and call it, man, because I'm kind of right there with you.
I got some 2BT fatigue going on.
Right? Not fatigue from 2BT. I can talk to you guys all day, every day, but it is starting to get a little bit late. It's almost 7 o'clock and I need to get up and start making my way towards getting ready to go back to work tomorrow morning. So
yeah, you got to go check on Sally Dog.
Yeah. I don't know if you could hear her barking in the background just a minute ago.
I heard her.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus I got to start, like I said, getting ready for work tomorrow. So that entails making my lunch and getting all that crap ready. So But I think that's going to do it for us. But if you guys want to, you know, send us a message, you know, between shows, you can write us at 2btshow@gmail.com. That's the number 2btshow@gmail.com. That, or you can get us on Twitter at the number 2btshow. That's at the number 2btshow.
Yeah. And that's on Twitter. Tell us why we're wrong about everything we just said, or why you agree with us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you guys want to check out Adam's stuff, go by, check out Retro Reprise. He streams live every Friday night at midnight, I think is what it is. If I'm getting this wrong, he's probably going to hate me. But you can go by and check out all of his videos that he has them all downloaded on YouTube, and he streams live, I think, to YouTube and Twitter both at the same time. So go by and check those guys out.
Definitely check that out, and go back and look at the last two episodes of Comic Talk Today. Listen to the earlier one first, of course. It's about breaking news that came out in the week about Comixology and Amazon Prime. Some really interesting news. Martin had an interesting take on it. I'm excited about it. We won't talk about it here. Go listen to him talk about it. And then he and Ronnie get together on the next episode after that, where they actually review the books that these Comixology originals that, because I'm a Prime member, I can now read for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're making an interesting approach to the way the material's available. Instead of having to go spend $4 for each issue, because I'm a Prime member, I can now get lots of different books.
That's cool.
So yeah, check that out, and check everybody else out on the Nerdy Legion Podcasting Network.
It's definitely worth your time.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world. Which we have not saved it ever, so the name is kind of misleading.
But it's a great title. So while you're there, go by the Nerdy Legion website and click the Audible button. Go by there and sign up for your 2-week trial membership and get yourself a free book, and you'll hear why me and Michael, and you'll understand why me and Michael both love Audible so much. It's ridiculous. If you decide not to keep the account, you still get to keep the book. So what's it cost you? Absolutely nothing. Just right. Go by and check it out. I think with that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT, signing out.
Adios.
Feo con Diaz.
Ah!
I don't know what that was.
I don't know.
Another tick on you?
Another tick on me. Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
Good Lord. What? What made me this way?
It is hot.
It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God. Oh.
Something went wrong somewhere, or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, we got him.
I used to love her, but I had to kill her. I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all, but that's man, whatever.
I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
All right. Dude, I like
I don't read too well.
I don't know my words.
I just like looking at the funny
ones. Right. Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
get that whole alphabet thing confused. Right.
No, just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
I don't know if this is fun for anybody listening, but it's not. Oh, my God. Ha 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 ha!
play to win. It,
man.
I want to make love to you, woman. I want to lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make your bone and perspire.
Yeah. Water rum. Water rum. Water rum. Sing a rum.
Boom, boom, boom. I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp. Burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if like the...
Yeah. It's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair... that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting, be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a tough, show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
Ujaba
the heebie-jeebies.
Face down in a gutter. Don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi, Run DMC.
Han, Luke, Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try. Well,
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans are a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.